This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. You know, you can't find a sign in a hotel in America that says whites only. It's actually illegal under the Civil Rights Act. You can observe considerable hate speech and angry racist rhetoric in the no rules world of the internet these days. We've certainly seen plenty of that during this election campaign. So is it any surprise that behind the glitzy, friendly website of the popular online home sharing service Airbnb, there may be people with an invisible whites-only message to African-Americans trying to rent their homes? Rohan Jilks in Tampa, Florida, do you feel like you got the whites-only brush off when you tried to use Airbnb?
Absolutely. I was trying to head to Idaho, and on Airbnb, you sign up and you have a profile picture. And I went on trying to book a place, and I found a place that I really liked. And I looked at the availability on the calendar, and it was available. And I selected those dates and requested to book. And the host responded and said that they were actually going to be using the property that same time, and basically, good luck. So what I did was I had one of my white friends to request the same dates that I was told were unavailable, and they were approved right away.
There you go. So you're a citizen in Tampa, Florida, right?
Yes.
And what have you decided to do about all of this, which sort of gets you into the business of competing with Airbnb? What are you starting?
I'm starting a company called Inclusive.com. And it's really, it's very much like Airbnb in function, but we are looking to focus very, very heavily on solving some of these problems around discrimination and bias in short-term rentals.
Now, Rohan Jilks, have you filed a lawsuit against Airbnb?
I have not.
All right. But a number of users have filed complaints with the company, even class actions, saying that they had been mistreated or outright rejected out of rentals due to one of the above factors and circumstances that sound very much like Rohan's story. Hold on there for a minute, Rohan. After months of complaints, Airbnb acknowledged it has a problem with discrimination. It's now offered a commitment to fixing it. The company assembled a team of engineers and lawyers, including U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, to address ways to root out potential avenues of discrimination. Yesterday, it released a 32-page non-discrimination policy, making several tweaks that they say will make the platform more equitable. Rohan, did you take a look at this 32-page document?
I did. I went through it thoroughly.
And what did you think? What was your reaction?
My reaction was basically that they did not go far enough. Actually, I think that the real practical outcome of their proposals will have a tiny, if any, real impact on bias on the platform. Because the things that lead to bias are very, very simple. Like the picture of the person and the name of the person. Like those two things were studied very, very well and shown to be the root of the bias. And showing the picture of the person and showing the name is just going to insert potential for bias in the decision-making for the host. And nothing that they have proposed actually changes showing the picture and showing the name. I think without that, we're going to end up in the same situation on Airbnb.
That's Rohan Jilks, founder of Inclusive, a competing website to Airbnb that he's put together in response to an offensive set of circumstances that he believes were discriminatory as he tries to use Airbnb, which has over 60 million users in over 34,000 cities, 191 countries. It's a platform that in its short existence since 2008 has attempted to redefine short-term housing rentals. Joining us now is Nancy Leong, an associate professor at the University of Denver School of Law who studies discrimination in the sharing economy. Nancy, what do you think of Rohan's story and how much of a legal gray area is there here?
Well, I think that this story is one that is all too common. It's a lot like other stories that I've heard from a lot of different people. And I, first of all, am in agreement that while to give credit where due, I think that this new policy does take some steps that are really commendable. And to my knowledge, no other sharing economy business has done anything even approaching this to try to reduce race discrimination by its users. You know, having said that, I would echo what Rohan said about the problem with including profile pictures, which can trigger both explicit racism and also implicit bias. And so it's really not clear to me why they didn't just get rid of the profile pictures. And the same thing with asking people to use their real names. I mean, you know, the Harvard Business School study that came out earlier this year showed that it was something like 16% more difficult for people with black-sounding names to get rentals. So I'm not sure that this is going to be anything like a complete solution.
But if you showed up at a hotel, a Hilton or any kind of hotel, and had a bag over your head and gave them a false ID, and obviously false ID, you know, they wouldn't give you a room. They'd tell you to get lost.
So I think that the issue there is whether it's automated or not. And in the case of a lot of mainstream, you know, traditional hotel websites, it is automated, right? You know, there's no sort of pre-screening process. You just put in your credit card information and book a room. And, you know, this is one of the changes that Airbnb has said that it's trying to implement is to make what it calls instant book, where you can book a room without any kind of pre-screening by the owner.
Now, Rohan, let's note that you're in potential competition with Airbnb, and so I can understand that you would be skeptical of their changes here. If they were set up like a, you know, Orbitz or a Hilton website, do you think the discriminatory practices that you experienced would go away?
I do believe so, and this is a piece that I have to give them credit for as well. So basically, instant booking, that is really what it looks like on Orbitz and Travelocity. As long as your credit card goes through, as long as your card is not declined, you have a place to stay.
We're talking to Rohan Jilks, who had an experience online with the Airbnb that he found discriminatory. Nancy Leong, it's possible to view this 32-page non-discrimination policy as a fix, but is it more a question of making them look good in a court case, or is it a specific fix that brings it in line with the Civil Rights Act itself?
So I think that it potentially is both. You know, it's something that is done with good intentions, but is also done with the intention to reduce legal liability. And I think it's worth pausing for a minute just to take a look at the history of the Civil Rights Act, which you've already mentioned. You know, in the 1960s, Congress passed these public accommodation laws to prohibit discrimination in places like hotels and restaurants because black people who were traveling previously had had trouble finding a place to stay or a place to eat in a lot of parts of the country. Well, you know, fast forward to today, the argument is that Airbnb should also be subject to these laws, because even though it's not a traditional hotel, it's functioning the same way as a hotel. It's meeting the same needs. And so I think that while this has not been tested in the courts yet, there is certainly concern on the part of Airbnb and other businesses in the sharing economy that these old public accommodation statutes could be used to apply to these new businesses.
What about something that happens online that we can all well imagine? Say someone decides to start a business a little bit like Rohan here, but with a very different intention. My old Kentucky home, B&B, all right? And nothing said on there about discrimination, but there's a sort of a message that people know that if they put their houses up here, that the people who are going to be booking on this website are going to be of a particular demographic, and there's a business that's created out of sort of pre-screening. Is there a way that becomes immediately illegal, even if there's no explicit message of discrimination?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting problem. And one statute that I would be thinking about here is the Fair Housing Act, which requires racial neutrality in selling and renting and just generally transacting with real estate. And the interesting thing about that statute is that to win, a plaintiff doesn't need to show that a renter had bad intent, which I think gets around the problem that you're describing, that it's only implication, right? Like nothing's explicitly said. So the plaintiff doesn't need to show that a renter actually had bad intent, only that there was a racial disparity in the way that people are treated.
Rohan, can you imagine a business that would market itself without an explicit message, but that you would get the message that you're not welcome there?
Very often websites will show, like, you know, faces of people and people having fun and enjoying their products and services. And for many websites that you see, there's like 100% of the people that are being reflected in their branding and their marketing and their communication are not people of color. There's sometimes some subtle signs that people of color have learned to pick up on and used in their navigation of the world. So there's some even more subtle things that could happen beyond just something like a Confederate flag.
Rohan, we're very sorry for your experience and good luck on your new business called Inclusive, okay?
Thank you so much.
And Nancy Leong, any other things you would want to add here? This is a very, very interesting issue.
Well, just the one final thing I would say is that I think that this is an issue that is not going away anytime soon. You know, this question of how these civil rights laws that were passed in the 1960s applies to sharing economy businesses, not only Airbnb, but other businesses like Uber would be another example. You know, how these old laws apply to these new business models is one that I think courts and legislatures are going to be struggling with for quite a while to come.
Nancy Leong is Associate Professor at the University of Denver School of Law. Thanks so much.
Thank you.